Last Sunday, that song that we just sang was the best way I know to describe that service that day. Truly, there were a lot of chains. A lot of chains hit the ground last week. And I fully expect the Lord to continue to move among us in these days. So to Him be the glory. We're this morning concluding what started out to be one sermon with 3 points. It turned out to be 3 sermons with 1 point each. So we're looking at, are you important enough to be a servant? Are you important enough to be a servant? So flip over to John chapter 13. And if this is your first time with us, what we do is we start at the beginning of a book of Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, without error, and we just listen to what the Spirit will say through His Word. So we're in John chapter 13 this morning, and I want us to begin reading in verse 12, okay? The whole section of this was verse 2 and on, but we're going to start with verse 12 is where we pick up this morning. We started 2 weeks ago, and we looked at the arena of service. This whole context of this is serving. And we looked at the arena of service. Last week, we looked at the action of service, and this morning, we're going to look at the application of service. So begin reading with me in verse 12. When He, Jesus, had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus has just finished washing 24 feet, each foot of 12 disciples. And the Scripture says that when He had finished, He got up and put on His outer garment and took His place, resumed His place. Now, He took off His outer garment because He knew He was going to get wet and dirty. I would say to us today, service is a dirty business sometimes. You have to deal with dirty people, okay? And I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. If there's anybody that doesn't have dirty feet this morning, well, I won't ask you to stand up, okay? We talked last week about when Jesus said to Peter, your feet need washing, and our feet take us where we're going, and they sometimes get dirty as we step into muck and mire that we shouldn't be stepping into, all right? And so, if we want to look at it in a spiritual context, tragically, most of us have dirty feet on occasion. And John dealt with that over in 1 John when he said, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's being written to Christians. That's a promise to believers. Okay? That's not talking about a person who is yet to believe, who has their sins forgiven, but you and I, as we get dirty feet, we need to have them washed by Him. I.e., confess those sins, and those sins, he promised, would be forgiven. Okay? So, Jesus has just washed their feet, and He resumes His place. And then He extends the teaching that He began with Peter. When it was Peter's turn, Peter stepped up there, I guess. Jesus is kneeling there, probably. And Peter stepped up, and he said, "You're going to wash my feet, Lord?" And he said, "You're not washing my feet. And Peter challenged the Lord when he was trying to serve him. And so then there was this teaching that started between Jesus and Peter. And he said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no share with me. And Peter said, don't stop with my feet. Wash my head, wash my hands. And Jesus said, you've bathed, but your feet are dirty. Just like we alluded to just a few seconds ago. So, that teaching, this teaching on serving started there, okay? By example, and also as he had that interchange with Peter. And then he gathers the 12, he resumed his place, and he gathers the 12, and the first thing he said to them was, do you understand what I have done to you? Do you understand what I have done to you? Now, there's a caution here. This whole understanding issue. Folks, oftentimes, our understanding, listen, is what we want the teaching to be. Let me say that again. Our understanding, oftentimes, is what we want the teaching to be. There's a crowd of folks out there, I call them name it and claim it folks, okay? And what they do is basically they command them. I was in a prayer meeting not that long ago, and there was this person who was asked to lead in prayer, and she said, Lord, I command you. Well, I'm getting back here. But there's that idea that if I name it and claim it, it has to be done. He has to do it. Folks, I don't find that anywhere in the Scripture. But what we will do a lot of times, whatever the truth is, whatever the teaching is, we want our understanding of it is what we want it to be, not what the teaching is. We must be careful there. We cannot be proactive and say, that's what that means, okay? Until, first of all, we consider what the teaching is. And so we react to the teaching, as opposed to customizing it for whatever we want it to be. So the question is this then, do we interpret truth? Jesus said, do you understand what I've done to you? Do we interpret truth in the context of self or in the context of the kingdom? All right? If service does not have a kingdom purpose, what is it? The service that Jesus is modeling here, that's not just confined to washing feet. It's any service, any serving on the part of we who are in the body of Christ. If service does not have a kingdom purpose, what's the purpose of it? Now let's remind ourselves again about this thing of kingdom. By kingdom purpose, we mean service that will impact who? People. People. We don't serve a corporate structure. We serve people. And the kingdom is Jesus Christ's rule and reign over the lives of people. So service is going to be by someone in the body to someone in the body. That's the service we're talking about. Did you notice, now we won't get in the weeds on this. Service can be beyond the body to bring people into the body, okay? But this was a select group here. There's only 12 people in the room. Jesus makes 13. The crowds aren't here. I'm pretty convinced that if service isn't in the body of Christ, it probably won't be outside the body of Christ. We won't build a denomination on that, but the Scripture is pretty, and we'll get into this a little bit later, is pretty complete when it talks about edifying those in the body of Christ. Edifying means building up, helping, serving. So by kingdom purpose, we mean the service will impact people and advance the rule and reign of Jesus Christ over the lives of people. Service is not to the corporate structure. There is a huge denomination out there. They would not say they are a denomination. Some of you have a history with this denomination. But service to them is you serve the church, the corporate structure. Folks, we can't find that anywhere. In fact, the Scripture knows nothing of a corporate structure called a church. It is not an organization. It is organism. And the Apostle Paul went to great lengths to describe the body of Christ when he talked about some of your hands and some of your feet and that kind of thing. A living organism. You and I make up the body of Christ at Wellspring, a living organism made up of saints of God. That's who we are. So service is going to be to the body. Another caution. Activity that once upon a time was service, was serving, can and tragically often becomes a tradition. And then the tradition is continued to be practiced, but the focus on people's lost. I'm not quite in Jim's league as far as age goes, but I can see him, okay? I've seen that happen through the years. Something that started out as pure service to people became a tradition, and then everybody kept going through the motions, but we forgot about the people. Another important point. The act of the washing was not the point of focus here. Let me explain, okay? The point of focus is having the heart of a servant that would result in even washing someone's dirty feet. Because we can make a tradition out of washing feet. That's very possible. And we would, you know, go through the motions, but lose sight of the fact that what Jesus was teaching here when he said, "Do you understand what I've done to you? I have served you." He's going to say in a minute, "I am teacher and Lord. And I humbled myself and washed your feet." The important focus here is having the heart of a servant, whereby we would serve at the point of need, not at the point of our need to minister, remember? Whatever that service directed by the Holy Spirit would be. All right, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. He's been here for 3 weeks. I knew he was here, sitting right down front, okay? It's not Chuck, he's on the front row, okay? Is this a ritual that we're supposed to be practicing? Washing each other's feet. That's been in your mind. Now, don't tell me it hadn't been, right? And we've had some folks say, share with us that they have were a part of a church where you came in. I don't know if it's every Sunday or not. And somebody's at the door, wash your feet, okay? A lot of disagreement on that, okay? Some say yes, some say no, some say I don't know, some just ignore, I don't know. Let me say this, there is no harm, certainly, in washing, literally washing feet in a service or before a service, okay? I'm on record with that. There's nothing wrong with literally doing that. But if we focus on and substitute the washing of feet, such that it becomes a ritual and we lose the meaning of it, we're missing what Jesus was teaching here. This is about washing feet, but more. This is about the humble heart of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who would stoop and wash the dirty feet of his followers. And I'm telling you, no, there he is, okay. I thought she skipped out, Andy, and I thought, don't do that on me today, okay. There may be a time when Andy and I, as elders here, okay, say we need to have a service. where we wash each other's feet. All right? We're not going to tell you ahead of time, okay? Because you might not come, all right? All right. That could happen. I want you to know that. Because everything that we're about here, okay, is directed as best we can determine and ascertain, led by the Holy Spirit. All right. Washing feet or any service must be a hard effort reflected in action toward others, primarily in the body of Christ. This is not about just clean feet. It's not about a social nicety. It's not about a denominational habit. It is our Lord modeling what He wants us to follow, serving one another. And may I? Yeah, I can. All right, thanks. All right? I wasn't checking with you either, okay? Coming to church and sitting in a chair is not serving. Okay? It's good. Okay? It's worship. Maybe. But serving is to people in the body at the point of their need, not at the point of your need to serve. All right. Jesus is teaching here about being totally clean. He told that to Peter. And living and serving so that others can become completely clean. And that may be outside of the body. Okay, first it starts in the body. And then outside the body, there is serving that we would reach out to others, helping them to be completely clean as they bathe, believe in Jesus Christ. Had Jesus not washed the feet of the disciples, think about what would have happened. I'm just speculating here. These 12 are going to become big deals. They are the foundation stones of the church. Jesus is going to ascend to the Father about 41 days after this. Okay? The apostles who are left, okay, had Jesus not washed their feet, I can see, because I know me, okay, and I know some of you, they could have assumed, whoa, we're a big deal. But they always had to remember, He washed our feet. That's always there. And so His serving created a template for their lives just before He's going to die on the cross and leave. All right. The second thing I want us to look at this morning, where Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." I don't know if you underline your Bible or not. That's one to underline right there. Okay? "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." Jesus states to the 12, the foundation stones minus Judas, the foundation stones of the church, Jesus states who He is. He reveals the authority structure. He reveals the authority structure of the kingdom. "I am teacher and Lord. I am Lord." There's one master, and it's not Andy Yon, it's not John Wheeler, okay? It's Jesus Christ. And we are servants. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and have been saved, if you have, Jesus uses in this, if you have bathed, okay, He uses over here, same concept, okay? If you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, you're a servant. That's what we signed up to do and be. And we dare not lose that status. And it's a great temptation always to lose it. But we're always servants. So there's one master, He identified Himself here, and there are many servants. The fact that Jesus Christ stated that he is teacher and Lord is a challenge to anyone in this room who is yet to believe. Now, what you're dealing with here is this. This is truth, and I subscribe to the fact that truth is what God says and what God sees. And this is what God the Son said. And he said, I am Lord. This is either truth or it's the greatest lie ever fabricated in history. Either or. And everyone in this room today has made a decision about whether what he said is true. Every person. You have either said, yes, Lord, and bowed your knee to him and believed on him for salvation, or you say you're lying. You're lying. And may I be as loving as I can here, okay? I don't want... But folks, if you're yet to believe, you're saying, Jesus, you're lying. Because if you believe it, confess it. Your decision on this one statement where he said, so I am, teacher and Lord, your decision determines your eternal destiny. Eternal destiny. Every moment from here till there is no more, and there's always more. For all eternity and for the rest of your life. There is no such thing as taking Jesus as Savior. We use that terminology. But he knows nothing about Jesus being Savior only. Lord and Savior. Always Lord and Savior. Okay? Because if he is not Lord, he's not Savior. For those who have believed, for those who have acknowledged what Jesus said here, that I am teacher and Lord. So I am, he said. If you have believed that, your Lord served these people. He modeled before us who he is. The washing of these feet met a need. But more, the washing of the feet revealed the continual habitual practice of a person who has believed. If you have believed, and I have believed, we will serve ongoingly. Because the scripture said, Jesus said, if you'll be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, die to self, and follow me. Where are you going, Jesus? I'm going to do just what I would do if I was here, and that's serve. So if you're following Jesus, you're serving other people. Now, that I'm sorry that sounds too dogmatic, whatever. If you have known me very long at all, can you think of a better word? Okay? Folks, I believe that with all that I am. That's what Jesus did. Why would he change? Why would he model something like this, and he did for his ministry, and then say, just hang out, do whatever you want to do. You know, just go out and kick around, have a good time in life, and I'll see you in heaven. No. Follow me. Where are you going, Jesus? To wherever that next need is. And I'm going to serve that person at the point of their need. Serving is what the master directs, what he commands, what he leads. Typically, not exclusively, typically, the service that we are led into will be consistent with the spiritual gift that you have been given. Stay with me, okay? Every person here who is born again has been given by the Holy Spirit a spiritual gift. And you Baptists kind of set aside that emotional thing that's erupting in you right now and stay with me, okay? When we're talking about spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, we're talking about those things that are delineated in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and the book of Ephesians. And they are gifts that are specialized gifts. The Holy Spirit, the Scripture says, has given every person a spiritual gift. You may have more than one, but He's given you at least one. And what that looks like, if you want to put it down where we live, is kind of like, what do you like to do, child of God? What do you like to do? By that I mean, that's our natural inclination because it is the gift that we've been given. And it's not a chore. It's not a chore. It is the gift that He has given us. If you said to me, Wheeler, you have to be administering over the affairs of this church, I might become Presbyterian or something. I don't know. Hate that stuff. I want no part of it. I tried it. I don't like it. But there's a guy sitting right there who has the spiritual gift of administration. And there's one that left and one over here. Okay? Well, how do you know that? Because that's what they do here and they're good at it. Andy and I don't have a clue what goes on here in the area of business and finances. They started digging this big deal over here. By the way, understand that's supposed to be a housing project. Folks, can you get it any better? They build a mission field in your backyard? And they start digging that up over there. And Joanne can tell you, I was driving out of the parking lot. She was with me here a couple of weeks ago. And I said, oh my goodness. Do you suppose that they're digging on our property? Because one time a guy built a fence and built it right next to there, you know, and I guess he's claiming territory, you know. All this kind of thing. And she said, don't you think that Jeff and Mark and Troy know? Yeah. And I went home. Jeff, you want to come up here and finish this teaching? Okay. That's not a put down, okay? Jeff knows his spiritual gift. And he doesn't, you know, want to teach. What I'm saying to us folks is, it'll be a natural thing in your life. So, the serving often, not exclusively, will relate to the gift that you've been given. And you delight in doing it. We had a bunch of ladies up here a couple weeks ago, and I know these ladies one by one, okay? And they have a gift of service. There is a spiritual gift of service, okay? And they just got up here and they just were tickled to death to clean and to, you know, and just serve, okay? And they were here for hours. I guarantee you, if we interviewed each of them, they have a gift of service. That doesn't mean the rest of us don't serve, but that's where they find a focus in their spiritual life in this body. We close with this, the last statement that Jesus made in these verses we read today. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, i.e., if I'm the master, and he said he was, okay, and I served, you're not greater than me, get it? So you serve, all right? If I am not too important to serve, then you're not too important to serve. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Anybody want to get into this verse just for a minute? What was the word that we did this about? Blessed. Did you get it? We're pretty interested in that, aren't we? Blessed. You want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. He told us here, blessed are you if you do them. You see, Jesus modeled service. He's Lord. He humbled himself and he served. What excuse do I have or do you have when we don't? We went through the enemies, remember? Don't you know who I am? Status. I don't have time. I'm busy. And oh, that list of the enemies of service. I think Jesus addressed all of those by example. He had time and he wasn't too important to serve. Who does the blessing he talks about? Who does that come from? Bad English, but good question. From the Master. He's the only one that can give a blessing. Blessed are you if you do them. So the blessing comes from the Master. It comes to us after we do them. Do you see that? So this is not beforehand. But how many of us have prayed, Lord, get me out of this tight spot and I will do so and so. That's being blessed before you do it. No. That doesn't work. So don't waste your breath. Do them and then we're blessed. Do them and then we're blessed. What's the them? The serving. That's what he's modeling. That's the context of this. Blessing comes after we do them. Knowing precedes doing. Doing precedes blessing. Big picture, we close with this. The master directs the servant. The result of what the servant does is called service. The master is glorified by the service, for his kingdom is advanced. Now listen to this. The servant is blessed that the master is glorified. This is not bells and whistles coming your way. The blessing that we get is that our Lord and Savior is glorified. And he is glorified as we advance his kingdom by serving one another. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would not be guilty of filing this away somewhere. But we would understand that this is the life of the believer in the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who has believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they've never dealt with this issue of what you have gifted them to do, Holy Spirit, I pray you'd reveal to them this week. I pray they'd spend some time even, Lord, investigating, asking, seeking, searching, so that they can serve, Father, according to what the Holy Spirit has given to do. What a blessing. What a blessing flows when we find and do that which you've given us to do. Father, I thank you that Jesus did something that was very uncomfortable, no doubt. He was all man, but he was all God. He humbled himself and served these 12. Thank you for that example, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who is yet to believe, who has denied what you said here this morning, that you are Lord. Father, today could be the day that they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe on Him for the forgiveness of their sins. I pray if there's anyone here who is yet to believe, Father, today would be the day that they do. Lord, as we go on, I pray You'll keep this understanding in the front of our minds that You want us to believe, and then You want us to serve one another. All for Your glory. In Jesus' name.